Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to start out, anyway, in the book of John. And this is something that Jesus, you know, instructing his disciples, gives them some tremendous insight as to this walk with God that we have and the way he designed it to be. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This is a very powerful passage of Scripture that really helps us to define a little bit more what God had in mind. Jesus says here in verse 4 clearly, he says, "And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And I think one of the most wonderful telling Scriptures that help us to understand Christianity, our walk with God, is the fact that Jesus set this up, told us ahead of time, that we are going to be following him in a way that we know his voice. His sheep know his voice. Not only that, it says, "But they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And so, this morning, I just want to get down to just some basic principles here. We're supposed to know his voice as believers, as Christians. Sometimes people will say, you know, "I heard God talk to me," or "God said something." And I know that can sound kind of foreign. I remember the first time I heard that, it sounded very foreign to me, people saying that God talked to them. I thought, well, are they just imagining things and they're making it up? Are they trying to be spiritual? Or, you know, what's going on here? But when you begin to read the Scripture, you begin to find out that God desires to talk to us. He talks to us by his word, the written word that we have, God inspired, God breathed. And he also talks to us by his spirit. Jesus said before he left, parting words to his disciples, he said, "You know, I'm going to not leave you orphanless, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he, the Spirit of truth, is going to lead and guide you into all truth. And so God designed, set up this walk with him in such a way that we were going to be able to hear, know, and understand his voice. His voice. And this morning, I kind of want to follow up on the message that we ministered last Sunday. Last Sunday we talked about the secret place. This is kind of a part two to that. You know, the secret place, just a quick summary. The secret place, Jesus said, you know, when you pray, don't stand on the street corners to be seen of men. You know, we're not down here to, you know, be, you know, known of men and to try to position yourself spiritually so people can point to you and say what a spiritual person you are. He said, no, you go into the secret place, shut the door, have your time with God, and when you do that, he'll reward you openly. And so this secret place that Jesus calls is a place of intimacy with God. And what we said last week is there's basically three things that you see in the secret place. Number one, it's a place of rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls." It is absolutely a place where you can relax, praise God, and have ears to hear what God wants to say to you. It's a place of expression. It's a place where we express what's on the inside of us and get it out. Okay? And then, you know, and that could take a lot of different forms. It could be prayer requests. It could be praise, worship, whatever. It's the place of expression. And also, finally, we said it's a place of revelation. That secret place is a place where you can hear from God. You can get insight into things. And, you know, a lot of you have experienced that. That's a good thing we said, too. You go into that secret place, take a little journal with you. Take something. Be ready. Be expecting. Ready to write some things that the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. And what I wanted to do this morning is I kind of wanted to take it a little bit deeper in terms of the secret place and really getting into that secret place and talk about knowing God's voice. Door of life, our little tag expression, who we are, is where faith meets real life. We try to take some of the principles, the concepts of the Word of God, and kind of bring it down into a real concrete way that we can understand and have something to act on, something to do. You know, the truth of God isn't there to just emotionally inspire us. It is there to make us free, to change our lives, and to actually give us real life insight on how to live our life. And so this morning, again, we're going to talk a little bit about knowing God's voice. And as we go into it, just keep in mind, too, that God did not design this to be complicated, right? I mean, just think about salvation. For God so loved the world that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. What is the gospel? God sent Jesus to this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And ultimately sacrificed that perfect life on behalf of us. And in sacrificing that perfect life, he made payment for all of our sin. And when we simply believe on him, we're forgiven, we have eternal life, and we are in heaven with him forever. Jesus said, he's doing these things ultimately so that where I am, you may be also. But God made salvation so simple. And think about it. If you were to design salvation, if you were God and you had a world and you were going to make salvation available for whosoever will, you'd have to make it pretty simple. The intellectual threshold for being able to receive the salvation would have to be low enough to where even a child could get it. You know, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, that's frustrating to intellectual people. We don't want it that simple. You know? You want it to be a little more complicated, you know, so you can kind of take credit for having figured it out. You want a mental challenge. But God didn't set it up that way. He set up salvation so simple, so basic, that it could truly be available for whosoever will. It's so right in front of our face, you know, that opening our eyes to see it, it's something that the Spirit of God does. It shows us our condition, that we need God. Well, as we're talking about knowing the voice of God, same way too. A lot of times we complicate trying to hear God's voice, and it's so simple. You know, God isn't speaking, you know, in college, you know, vocabulary to four-year-old children. He totally knows where we're at. He understands us, and he speaks our language wherever we're at. And so this morning, as we're talking about knowing the voice of God, we're going to talk about, first of all, understanding that there, before you know the voice of God, there is an ungodly voice. And this is important to understand because there are a lot of voices in the world. There are voices, thoughts that are coming to your mind. Now, when we say voices, I'm not talking about hearing audible voices, okay? I'm talking about impressions, thoughts that come into your mind from a lot of different sources. And behind those thoughts are instruction. There are things that will direct your life. And so, as we're talking about knowing the voice of God, we first want to start out with understanding that there is an ungodly voice. And when we talk about the ungodly voice, we can see in Scripture in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There is an ungodly voice that's in this world. All right? And the Bible says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in that ungodly voice. What does the ungodly voice do? The ungodly voice basically does this. It glorifies ungodliness. The Scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. ungodly counsel will take that stuff, and you can even see how, even in our culture, Hollywood movies, television shows, glorify this stuff, you know, and kind of put a positive spin on it, you know, to where it's all right, it's okay, it's good, and, you know, I mean, even hatred contentions, you think, how can that be good? There's a lot of tough guy stuff out there, you know, that'll just say, you know, go ahead and make my day. I'm going to blow you away. Oh, wow, really tough. That kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, you can glorify all this stuff. And there is a spirit, and there's an ungodly counsel that'll just kind of make us think what the Bible calls the pattern of the world. And if you're going to hear the voice of God, one of the things you got to be able to identify is just say, you know what? Not everything that pops in my head is God. There's stuff in my head that I just got to really look at and say, is that God? Is that really God speaking? And again, ungodly counsel basically takes these things and sides with these things because we all deal with these things, all right? I'm not talking about this is what ungodly people deal with. I'm saying this is what me and you deal with, all right? You have a body that doesn't want to do the right thing. You have a body that has impulses that wants to do that stuff. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you have things going on. In fact, I like to put it this way. It was kind of one of my instructors taught me this. You actually have the physical body. You have the body of a sinner, all right? Your body's been bought with a price. It belongs to God. But the tendencies in it, the mortal condition of it, you still have to deal with it the same way as the person who doesn't know God. You still have to deal with those impulses. You understand? Christians can live just as badly as non-Christians. In fact, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, there is such fornication among you as not is even mentioned in the world among the Gentiles. Yay. So, the church actually beat the world in some areas. So we have these bodies to deal with, all right? We all, and thank God we can deal with it. Thank God the Bible talks about we can bring these bodies, the flesh under. We can live victorious in Christ and all that. But we've got to recognize, first things first, there is an ungodly voice. There is something that comes against us. And that ungodly counsel, again, makes the flesh look good. It makes it look right. You know, there's the old song, The Candyman. You know, the Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. You know, if you kind of think about that in a spiritual way, there's kind of an ungodly candy man that will kind of mix the worldly aspects and different things and spin it in such a way that it will make it look good. Candy tastes good. You know, so understand a little bit that there are some things that, you know, you can say, oh, it's just religious bondage, you know, this is really okay. The same way that ungodly voice kind of spins the works of the flesh and makes them look good, they'll also take the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. Thank God. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what happens to us as we begin to walk with God. That same ungodly voice will take, you know, and even spin the good things of God in a negative way. You know, you think, well, you know, love, joy, peace, these are all good things. And, you know, and really kind of just spin the, you know, well, the joy is just kind of a phoniness. Peace is, you know, really denial. Self-control is really religious bondage. You know, when you begin to see some of these things, there'll be the ungodly voice that just takes everything and mocks the things of the Spirit. Let me just put it this way. Court is always in session in your mind. Court is in session. There's ungodly counsel, there's godly counsel. There's ungodly counsel that is a lawyer for your flesh. There's godly counsel that is a lawyer for your spirit. And so as you're dealing with these thoughts in your head, you got to realize you got two really good lawyers going at it. And both lawyers can make their case in such a way that just seems so believable. That's why it's not good enough. You don't have the ability in of your own self to know truth or to even be honest with yourself apart from the Word of God, apart from the Spirit of God. We've been given this word so that we could know the truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is useful for doctrine, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man, the woman of God may be fully equipped for every good work right here. Court is in session. There is ungodly counsel. You got to make sure, as you're hearing the arguments, that those arguments line up with Scripture, that they line up with the Word of God. Just going to keep going here. Peter puts it this way. He says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime," he said, "doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable adulteries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Have you noticed that there's pressure on you? You know, the Bible says, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but there is pressure in the world to conform to its pattern, or else you're going to be accused of being the religious prude, self-righteous, stuck-up, snob, all that stuff. You know, that's what we live in this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Now, we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves because of that. We shouldn't have a victim complex over it. No, not at all. That's part of living in the world. Thank God we have, living in this world, we have authority in this world, you know, to be able to do what God has called us to do. But that's just part of it. We just kind of understand that going into it. Jesus put it this way. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So what we've got is we've got this, you know, when he said, this is something that Jesus probably said about over 10 times in the Scriptures. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, he's not talking about ears on their head, obviously. He's talking about ears, the ability to hear, perceive, and understand what he's about to say. You know, on a radio band, there's a lot of different frequencies. And depending on what frequency you're tuned into, you're going to hear something very different. There's a whole spectrum. If you like rock, if you like country, if you like the classic, if you like old stuff, Christian music, whatever you want, depending on what band you're tuned into is going to determine what you're going to hear. Even when somebody talks, like I'm talking this morning, and people are hearing different things. You're tuned into different frequencies. And a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about hearing what God wants us to hear, he who has ears to hear, it's going to be somebody who has a desire, a heart to listen. Now, Galatians tells us this. Let me just kind of talk a little bit more about this. "Now, the works of the flesh," it says, "don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, when we think about that, a lot of times we think, yeah, if I do something good, you know, good things are going to happen. I do something bad, bad things are going to happen. And that's true, definitely. When you sow to the flesh, you have the flesh reap corruption. But let me say this. When you sow to the flesh, your ears get tuned to the flesh. When you sow to the Spirit, your ears get tuned to the Spirit. What you do affects how you hear. And so when we're talking about ungodly counsel, we got to realize that when you do stuff, when you sin, when you yield to the flesh, it's not just a matter of I sow to the flesh and read. It affects the way you hear. If I miss it, if I sin, that's why it's so important. If we miss it, say, "Father, I'm sorry. I confess. This was wrong. I don't agree. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I just receive forgiveness and grace that you abundantly supply me." But so much of that is when you become honest in your own heart, your own mind, it affects your ears to hear. So we're talking again this morning about knowing God's voice. And before we kind of delve into his voice, what it sounds like, I just want to cover just a few things quickly of what it doesn't sound like. You know, 2 Timothy 4:1 said this. It's kind of a warning, a prophetic warning for our day, I believe. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Okay? Again, talking about the time to come, they won't endure sound doctrine, you know, verse 3, "but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers." So, you know, what are we seeing? Instead of having a word-oriented doctrine, you have desire-oriented doctrine. In other words, I know what I believe already. I need to find myself a teacher who's going to agree with me and preach that. And what I believe isn't according to the word, it's according to my desire. I have desire-oriented theology. So my theology starts with my desire, then I find
We've got to find somebody. I'll even pay somebody to spiritualize it for me, to make me feel good about it, and then go on down the road. That was prophesied that that would happen in these last days. Has it happened? Yes, it's happened. It's the day we live in. And when we're talking about godly counsel, ungodly counsel, can ungodly counsel make its own case, even using the Bible? Yeah, it can. Try to do it with Jesus. You know, Satan telling Jesus, you know, it is written. You know, throw yourself down. He'll give his angels charge over you. The enemy will use Scripture. The enemy has a religious voice that is really, really nasty. And that religious voice will work in all extremes. It'll try to spiritualize the flesh and say everything goes. Or that same religious, ungodly spirit can get you so worried and so worked up trying to live for God that you're always living in a continual state of condemnation of never quite doing enough. Both of them, even though they're so opposite looking, they're both kind of similar. The flesh can never get enough satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. That's the song of the flesh. But this religious spirit can never quite do enough to really believe that God is really finally happy. These are both ungodly voices. And he'll accommodate whatever your inclination is, lasciviousness or legalism. Take your pick. There's an ungodly voice that'll accommodate both. And when you talk about this, I remember this. I like to tell the story. There's a story of King Achan, you know, with the prophet told him to strike the arrows on the ground. And he struck him 3 times. And the prophet said, you should have struck him, you know, 4, 5, 6 times. Now you're only going to have so much victory over, you know, your enemies. I remember reading that in the Old Testament thinking, wow. And I remember Satan, you know, like Jesus in the desert, saying, well, it is written. And I remember just being on the treadmill one time. And I was running. And I'm going, you know, I'm just kind of running, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this voice, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Remember, Achan only struck the ground 3 times. He should have kept going, going, going. I thought, oh, wow. And then when you go that extra mile, then your eyes are going to be open. Then you're going to see my plan for you. Then you're going to, you know, and it's like, wow, this really sounds religious. This really sounds like God. Yeah, and you can have a testimony and tell all your friends and have that dramatic thing, but you are getting ready to be in bondage to a voice that is a cruel taskmaster. I thought, man, it's a good thing I decided to run on the treadmill today. My whole life before me was dependent upon me going that extra mile. No, I recognize there is a religious, hideous voice. And if you believe that's the voice of God, you should have witnessed to that person. Now there's condemnation. You should have da-da-da-da-da. Thank God I'm here to witness to people. I'm here to reach out. I'm here to love people. But it is not a shame and a condemnation thing. You ever hear somebody, you can never read your Bible enough. If that's true, then I am in constant condemnation for having never read my Bible enough. That's not true. You can read your Bible enough. You can. When you read your Bible, you're feeding yourself spiritually. Yep. I can sit down to a good meal, and I'm eating, and I'm satisfied. I can be in my place of devotion time, and I can be satisfied. And I can walk away from that place of devotion time satisfied. Not condemned unless you read one more chapter. That is an ungodly religious voice. And it controls people's lives. Little religious clique groups that are controlled by that religious spirit. I knew a guy. Man, you just, you know, him and his 5 friends were it. And the rest of the body of Christ, the mainstream church, was the harlot church. Pointing the accusing finger. And if you didn't jump through all their hoops, you're part of the harlot church. I'm going to tell you something very clear. If you are going to truly live for God down here, you are going to need to lose some spirituality contests. God wants you to keep it real. Not street corner to be seen of men, but that secret place, time, where it's you and him, and he shows you things to do, things to say, and you launch out there, and you're saying what you hear the Father say, you're doing what you see the Father do, and it's anointed in grace. There is an ungodly counterfeit to the voice of God, and men will use that, and will have rules and regulations that sound spiritual, but it's not God. So, like we said, there is... The enemy has a nice spectrum. If you want the flesh ditch, There will be teachers that will cherry pick a few scriptures to the neglect of the rest of the Bible to establish a basis for your desire-oriented theology. Or, if you just really want to beat yourself up, if there's a certain pleasure and satisfaction, if that's what you feel is what true humility is, never quite feeling like you're measuring up, that's sad, but there's also that ditch as well, too. It's all ungodly. Let's see here. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Thank God. There is a middle of the road here between those two ditches. And the two ingredients for staying in the middle of the road is humility and the word of God. With meekness, receive the word of God which is able to save your souls. Have you ever had that where you feel confused and all of a sudden that scripture comes to your mind? It just kind of shines the light on it, brings clarity. The word of God will do that. And as we're talking about it, the difference between here, you know, somebody that's in this ditch over here, they're not teachable. They've already decided, I'm going to go with my flesh. I just want to try to spiritualize it in a way that I can still do what I want to do and feel like I'm justified in doing it. Again, the other ditch over here is where you're going to kind of get legalistic and try to, you know, feel like... Here's the hideous thing about the legalism ditch, too. People that live in this legalism ditch always feel like they're a cut above everybody else. Kind of looking down your nose, waiting for the rest of the body of Christ to catch up with you. It's a heavy yoke being the most spiritual person in the world. I've been there. You probably didn't know that. From about 84 to 86. Yeah. And when you begin to talk about hearing the voice of God, there is going to be a desire. There is going to be a desire in your heart when you're born again, you know, God, to want the real thing. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. It's a great scripture for going on to where we want to go into. Philippians 4, he said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I love that. The Apostle Paul said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Here is a man, again, he's caught up to the third heaven, wrote half the books in the New Testament, and his attitude, his continuous attitude was, I haven't already attained, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm pressing toward. And the great way, I mean, right there in that verse, is the key of staying out of this ditch and the key of staying out of this ditch. All right? It's like, look, I know that I don't know it all, but I'm forgetting the mistakes that I've laid behind, and I'm pressing forward to the things that God has before me. In other words, he's saying this, I'm teachable. I'm not going to live in condemnation of the past, but I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm pressing toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus. And that place is the place where you can begin to hear the voice of God. Where we say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm ready. I want to learn, hear, and walk in your voice. So that's kind of the backdrop for where we really want to go here, the voice of God this morning. The voice of God. James puts it this way, and this is a pretty powerful passage of Scripture. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Okay, who's going to truly win the spirituality contest? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And this Scripture really goes hand in hand with, you know, what Jesus said. He said that my sheep would know my voice. But who is wise and understanding among you? Verse 17 again. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When you look at the qualities and the characteristics of what James calls the wisdom from above, you'll notice that they all have really to do with the sound of the voice. Pure, peaceable, gentle, mercy, good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy. It's talking about the voice behind the wisdom. The voice behind the wisdom. In other words, when it's God, it sounds a certain way. When it's the enemy, it says in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, or strife, don't boast and lie against truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. But you'll notice that he has to tell them to not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. Why does he have to say that? Because there's a temptation to think that it does descend from above. There's a temptation to think you are getting a revelation from God. And it's making you insanely angry and mad and wanting to throw things. And James is saying, that's not a revelation from God. That's not his wisdom. I don't even care what the content of it sounds like. I don't even care if it's saying Jesus is Lord. You can say Jesus is Lord in a way that it's not God. The content of that statement is absolutely true. Remember when the Apostle Paul, he was on a missionary journey, and he came across this lady who said, these men are servants of the Most High God, come to show us the way of salvation. Is that true? Yeah. Every word of it's true. But she was not saying it's the right spirit. It was a wrong spirit. You know, the enemy can quote Scripture in your mind in a way that's a wrong spirit. I mean, I know God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's a voice behind that that can drive out fear from my mind. And also there can be an inflection behind it. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, I know. That's right. The enemy can quote Scripture in a way that will absolutely condemn you and shame you. There is wisdom. There's a voice. Jesus didn't say, my sheep know my theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. Now, theology matters, hugely matters. But there's a voice behind that theology. And what we're talking about this morning is hearing the voice of God. Because we already talked, there's a religious voice that'll get you on that merry-go-round of never quite doing enough for God and always feeling kind of ashamed, kind of guilty that I didn't quite do this enough or do that enough. Keep the merry-go-round going and call it fruit and blessing. Now, there's a wrong spirit behind that. But there is a true spirit, a wisdom that does come from above. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, full of mercy and good fruits. That's what it sounds like. Now, let's just take a look at a few scriptures as it relates to that kind of wisdom. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That sounds a whole lot like the wisdom from above, doesn't it? Pure, peaceable, gentle. And you'll notice what Jesus said. He said, take my yoke upon you, and I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's the way Jesus describes himself. He doesn't come across as this brash, intimidating man of God that you're just quaking in the fear of. No, he says, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Learn of me. I can tell people who really walk with God. You know how I can tell? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. That's evidence that you're walking in the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It is. Jesus described, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. But the people, maybe the believers, just kind of pass over because they're not standing up, they're not allowed. Some of the most spiritual people you'll ever see. There's just the gentleness, peaceful. There's a security that comes from walking with God. And I just love the way Jesus described it. This is not a frightening place.
says, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But that word in verse 29 is huge. Learn. Learn. Can I say that about Ed House? I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Well, I could be more gentle and more lowly. I got more to learn. And that's the thing about when you're walking with God. And we're talking about that secret place and knowing His voice. When you're in that secret place, you shut the door, you learn that about Him. You learn His voice. And when people talk to you, you can tell on the inside whether that's Him or not, because you learn His voice. You learn the way He talks. Psalm 23, this is another wonderful passage, right? It kind of goes hand in hand with Matthew 11 and with James 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. This is my good shepherd. This is my Lord. This is the one who I am absolutely putting my trust in. This is the one who I'm spending that secret place time with right here. Now, this morning we kind of had a word just along the lines of Him being our sufficiency. And there are some things that I don't have scriptures up here for, but just some things that, I just want to talk real kind of candid, sharp, practical here. Faith meets real life. A lot of times we will go to the secret place, not just because I necessarily... A lot of times we go to the secret place just because we want rest for ourselves. We want peace. Most of the time, I have to admit, I don't always start out by not leaning to my own understanding. It's after having leaned to my own understanding so long and getting burnt out in my own thought and it's checkmate in the mind, I think, that's right, there's a throne of grace. That's right, I could pray about this. And a lot of times, we're going to that secret place, number one, just for relief, to find rest for ourselves. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Again, like we said last week, the phrase devotion time really isn't in the Bible. Okay. So we think of doing, it's kind of duty. It's what I'm doing to serve God, to make Him happy. No, it's secret place time. Or it's garden time. We're going back. The purpose of the cross is to get us back in the garden so we can walk and talk and fellowship with God. So we've got to have kind of a paradigm shift in the way we see this. It's not my duty. This is garden time. This is hanging out with God time. And the cool thing about just actually doing this is that you learn so much about God just by being there and hanging out there and lingering there. I don't approach my secret place time with all my ducks in a row and all my theological. I just approach it by faith. I just believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe that about Him. And so as I just come into my secret place time, I'm just going, okay, Lord, here I am. You know. And a lot of times you're going, and you might just not know where to start. And a lot of times we feel like we don't know where to start because we feel like we're trying to say something that He wants to hear. I want to say something, and I want to say it just right, and I want to say it in a way that, you know, it's going to be all right. And the secret place time, when you realize the way He is He is really ultimately wanting us to be able to begin to just talk from our heart. And that's the step of faith. Don't even worry about getting the answers to your problems, to get all that. That's later. But you just, by faith, come into that secret place time. And just begin to describe to God what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And it's an amazing thing as you just begin to verbalize. You know, Lord, I just feel like I'm not sure what it is about that person. Lord, I just seems like I rub them the wrong way. And, you know, if I'm doing something, just show me. Or, you know, just begin to bring it out, begin to talk it out. And it's an amazing thing when you begin to say, and you begin to talk about that person. You might even start off by being mad. Why does this person always take me wrong? You know, why is it? It doesn't matter how you start. Just start talking. I like to tell this to people, too. You know, you could be... You could be in a devotion time and start off in this just really cool thing, and all of a sudden something bad can come up, and then it can bring you to a dark place, and then, you know, that's okay. Just stay in there. Stay in there. Just keep talking. Keep lifting it up before God. And the cool thing about it is His Spirit will just, you begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He'll begin to remind you things of the Word of God, and there's something about being in His presence that causes some of the greatest truths in the whole Bible to come to life in your heart. Here are some great truths in the Bible. The love of God, Romans 5:5. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's pretty amazing. God's love is in me. I like to put it this way. The love of God in your heart will forgive things that your flesh would never approve of. But His Spirit is in there. His love is there. The Scripture tells us in John that there is an anointing that abides within. You need not that any man teach you, that anointing will teach you all things, show you. The wisdom of God is in there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. There is strength in there. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but I've been given a spirit. It's of power, love, and a sound mind. Paul told the Ephesians, I pray that you get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of the power that works toward you as a believer. So I can know theologically all these things. And sometimes in our circles, we kind of stop short at that. We've been kind of proud that we know of all those things in Christ that are in us. But let me tell you something. That's not where those things become powerful in your life. It's when you spend time in that secret place. Because you're just lingering in there and you're talking about that relationship. You're talking about that the situation in life. And you're going back and forth and, God, I need your help. And a lot of times you might not know the Scripture. God, help me. Just help me. Lord, I just know the answer's here. I know it's with you. I don't have the answer right now, but I know it's here. I know that on the inside of me there is. As you just begin to talk about this thing, talk about that, something happens in that secret place. The love of God that you theologically know has been shed abroad in your heart will begin to get stirred up in you. And in that place, you'll find yourself saying, Father, I forgive you, even as you've forgiven me. You've forgiven me so much. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant? Master forgave him the $1 million debt, and then he was strangling the brother that owed him the $20. We do the same thing all the time. How could that unforgiving servant have not fallen into that if he would have spent time at the feet of the master that forgave him the $1 million debt and kept that in front of his face? That's one of the things that happens when you go into the secret place. You're reminded you've been forgiven the $1 million debt. He softens your heart. As you're just, not that you're going, like I said, I'm just going there to get relief. But as I'm going there and I'm just talking, the Spirit is working with you. And He'll begin to lead you and guide you. He just wants you to, by faith, come into the garden and start talking. And let Him begin to stir things up and show you things. And He'll give you some wisdom, some insight. But then all of a sudden, it's like as you begin to dialogue with God and sense the grace and the peace and just forgiving, and it's not like, oh, yeah, I got to forgive. God, help me forgive. Help me forgive. It's just, it's like, oh, I know that this is not supposed to be difficult. It's not supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to do. Help me. You just begin to talk about it, verbalize it out. The Spirit of God shows up in that. It's not flowery language. It's not articulate. It's not just perfect. It's just talking from your heart, and the Holy Spirit is there. And in those intimate places where you trust to get intimate, the Spirit of God will get intimate with you. And those things that are true will begin to get stirred up. It's not just, oh, I have an anointing that abides within, I know all things. You begin to see things. You begin to see things. Wow, that's the anointing of the Spirit of God. You remember things. The wisdom that's from above, it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. As you begin to talk out some of those things that are even frustrate you, the Lord might shine some lights on things that you've said, that you've done, and all of a sudden give you the big picture of things. He's true. He's pure. It's like, oh, yeah, I could see that. Oh, I could totally see where that would be maybe taken that way. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying we start making steps in that direction, whatever your situation is, whatever it is. The Holy Ghost is real. He is real. And this is where the power and the reality and the presence of the Holy Ghost shows up the most. It's not just bang, bang, miracles. There is secret place time where God be so real to you. There's fellowship of the Spirit of God. You begin to see Him.
know him, and you begin to know that voice. And you begin to find out it is full of mercy and compassion. And by the time you're done with your secret place time, it's like, wow, God, you showed me so much mercy, so much compassion. It's something that he does. He actually loves. He will love the chip off your shoulder. He will love the chip of religious bitterness toward him off your shoulder. He'll love the anger and frustration toward people off your shoulder. And you're just in his presence of fullness of joy, and then you all of a sudden he'll take you about 30,000 feet in the air and show you what a vapor this time is, and the glory and the riches to come, and the sufferings of this present time, and even worthy to be compared with the glory that we're building. You know, just breathe life into you. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not because I know all the answers, or I have all the connections, or that I have everybody just respecting on the knowledge. He lives in me, and he loves me. The secret place time is where you get that revelation that he loves you, that he is with you. He is with you there. I could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because of one thing. I know you're with me. You're with me. I know that. And the greatest theological training you can get is when you just by faith take your situations, your issues, whatever those issues are, and just begin to talk them out with God. And let the Holy Ghost do the miracle of beginning. Because see, the thing, he knows where you're at. He knows exactly your vocabulary. He knows your history. He knows where you've come from. And so the one who I'm airing it out to, I know he already knows me completely. And don't ever feel like this religious voice, oh, this is where the religious voice likes to seize on that devotion. Is that religious voice, boy, everything better, every I better be dotted, every T better be crossed. You feel like you just didn't say it right. Let me tell you this way. I don't care if you get in that devotion time and you get cussing mad. God won't blush. He won't flinch. In fact, there is no variableness or shadow of turning with him. So nothing near you do in our little devotion time is going to love you. What? What? No, he's going to stay fixed, and he's going to love you. He'll love you through every expression. Every expression. You know, when Peter denied Jesus the third time, he was saying whatever their four-letter words of the day were, denying that he even knew him, cursing. And he made eye contact with Jesus at the end. But you got to know something. There is nothing you can do or say in that secret place that's going to cause God to leave the secret place. He's there. He paid the ultimate price through his son Jesus on that cross for you. So when you're in the secret place time, stay with it. Say, oh, Lord, I should have said that. Okay, Lord. No. But I'll tell you what, Father, help me. You know, you can get in the flesh in the secret place time. If you get in the flesh, well, it doesn't mean you got to leave the secret place. It means you stay there more than ever. All right? That's where the religious spirit will say, oh, your secret time place is done. God doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Yeah, he does. Stay in there. Receive grace. You know, a lot of growing up spiritually, you know, when we're first born again, we receive the grace of God. It's amazing. A lot of growing up spiritually is believing the love of God in all the different contexts of life that you bump up against. He still loves me here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, even though I'm going through this, that, and it's the same. Your secret place time is huge. It's one of the most powerful miracles of the Holy Spirit that happens. You get to know God. The truths come to life. I like to say it this way. It's where Pinocchio becomes a real boy. You got your theology strength, and it's good. We need good theology. Don't get me wrong. We need it. But when we're not serving in an oldness of the letter, people will take the letter and kill. People will take the letter and distort truth. We're serving in a newness of spirit. Meek, lowly in heart, learn that. Learn his voice. That's the way he is. And in that place, in that presence, praise God. There's just nothing in the world like having a good devotion time, devotion time, fellowship time, prayer time, before. Where you, what was in your heart, you got it out. I'm not even a successful
prayer, devotion time, isn't having the answers to all my questions. It's getting what's in my heart up. Getting my care cast on Him, knowing that He cares for me. Being strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And revelation comes. It's amazing how you can be in that place and all of a sudden He'll remind you of things. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance Scripture, teachings, fellowships, different things like that. And say, wow, that's right, that's true. And then you begin to pray that out. Praying it out back and forth. It's so simple. Jesus told the story of the two men that went up to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a tax collector. The Pharisee was saying, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like other men. You know, I tithe, I do all this kind of stuff. I fast twice a week, I do all that. And the tax collector just beat his chest and said, forgive me, God is sinner. Very quick prayer. Jesus said, that's the man who was justified. While he was honest, spoke from his heart. He wasn't telling God what he thought he wanted to hear. He was just being honest. And when we let God into those places in our heart, you know, we can get good at keeping people out. But if you get too good, you end up keeping God out, not even realize that's what you're doing. There is one person that you can absolutely be yourself around. There's one person that there's no place you can't go. The most embarrassing thing, you can air it out in prayer. And it's such a relief. He's real and He loves you. And it just brings the security. This is the kind of stuff where the theology comes to life. And it comes to life. It comes to life in that secret place. And so we're talking about, you know, and finally, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank God we need the Word of God. I'll tell you what, the more I walk with God, the more inspired I am to know the Word of God. Because the same Holy Spirit that's working with me in the secret place is the same Holy Spirit that authored the Word of God. And that Scripture can be blind when we don't see it through His eyes. But when we're spending time with Him, we get to know His voice. It also helps us understand Scripture as we begin to read it, because it's the same person, same God, same Holy Spirit. And so this morning we were just talking about knowing God's voice. Knowing God's voice. Go by faith into the presence of God and realize that as you go into that secret place, there will be a battle. You know, have you ever noticed that? When you want to go to the secret place, all of a sudden there's a million things you got to do. Crisis, all these things that will come up. Boy, I'll tell you what, fight for that time. Make that time. In the story of, I think, of Mary and Martha, where Jesus was coming over to their house, and Martha was entertaining, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, oh, why doesn't Mary help me with this stuff? And Jesus said, Martha, you're worried about so many things, so only one thing is needful. Mary's chosen that. It won't be taken away from her. Nothing wrong with hospitality, wanting to serve Jesus, but Mary chose to hear the word of the Lord. Take time out of her day. Now, he's not obviously teaching neglect and things like that, but first things first. We need the word of God. We need that time that Jesus needs. One thing is necessary. There's just something about knowing that going through your day, that the stuff that's in your heart's been aired out to God. And then all of a sudden, when that happens, you begin to hear those things out, and it's not condemnation in return. He just takes them. You begin to more regularly. Just keep your heart clear. Make sure that you just talk those things out of the Lord. He loves you. He's for you. He cares about you. And He wants you to know. He wants you to know His voice. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One more thing. We all have the same Holy Spirit. It's not like your pastor has the big Holy Spirit and then you have little Holy Spirit. No. Whatever other areas of life you may find insecurities to compare yourselves amongst yourselves, the Holy Spirit, you have the same Holy Spirit of God. And you can fellowship and know Him and get to know Him as much as you want. Nobody can control that in your life. You can really get to know God and really get to know His voice. And when you go into the presence of God, don't be probing for a feeling. My focus is on just talking from my heart and being honest and being clear. That's my heart. I'm not going for a goosebump. Because what will happen is, as you begin to be honest with God, the presence of God will happen. You'll feel things. It'll be amazing. And then in our natural thing, you say, okay, if I say this Bible verse, if I say these three things, then I'll get that feeling again. That's not how it works with God. It's a real relationship. He really is a person. And as we just go before him and we just begin to talk and begin to pour out our heart, we got it by faith. I've been in there where I've talked with God and I haven't felt anything. But you got to realize, I'm not going into that place to necessarily feel something. I'm going in there to lighten my burdens, to lay my burdens at his feet. Now, I mean, I definitely want to feel relief, restoration in my soul, but I'm going in there to do that. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going in there to get this stuff off of me and onto him. Not just listening to see if he heard me. I am doing it by faith. I simply believe that he is. And I'm doing it by faith. That takes the pressure off of you. It takes the pressure. You know, in the medical world, there's something they'll call false positives, false negatives. You know, there can be tests and different things like that. The test may come back, you know, a certain way, and it could be considered a false positive. In other words, it looks one way, but really something else is happening on the other side. You could be in that place of the secret place of prayer, and you're just airing out your heart. You're not feeling anything. In fact, you're feeling the emotion of the stuff that you're casting on him, and it doesn't necessarily feel good. But as you're doing that by faith, good things are happening on the inside of you. Sometimes you will be able to tell the glorious impact of your devotion time right when you get out of it. You'll be able to tell, wow, something has happened on the inside here. So I'm saying that to say this. Don't be probing for feelings. You go in there by faith and you begin to talk. And by faith you begin to believe that he is going to speak. Don't let anything feeling-wise get in your way. All right? So don't, what am I saying? Well, I would call it's a false negative. Just because you don't feel anything when you're in the secret place doesn't mean that amazing things aren't happening. That's a false negative as far as not having the goosebumps and glowy feelings and things like that. All right? That was I've got a van out there that I've got a false negative, actually. About 6 years ago, we were going to Disneyland. Our van, going through the hills of Tennessee, blew a piston rod right through the engine on our family vacation. Had to bring it in, to replace the engine. And they said, you know, now as you're heading back up north there, you might see that engine light turn on just because it's a new engine and it's got to settle in. And said, don't worry, it'll go off. And that was, you know, that was over 6 years ago. 120,000 miles later, and I'm still waiting for that engine light to go off. People ride with us and go, you hear your engine lights on? I go, yeah, I know. It's all good. It's all right. Don't worry. Told Julie, if that thing ever does go off, let me know. I'm bringing it in. I don't. But it's all right. It's a false negative, you know. And the Lord's used that in my life where I'm at the prayer. I feel like I'm getting nowhere with God. And I'm just kind of that little engine light. Okay, it's all right. You can have, you might feel like there's an engine light on your fellowship with God. I'm not getting through here. I'm not connecting. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Stay at it. Stay at it. Keep talking. Just worship, love, do whatever. Just be thankful. God will just prompt you to do things. And as you do that, boy, you're going to get to know him. That's when your theology is going to come to life. The love of God being shed abroad in your heart isn't just a concept. When you're having a hard time to forgive, you know, oh, I got to get back to the secret place. I got to get back there. I got to let God talk me back into forgiving again. Because he can and he will. You understand this is bigger than me. So I got that down. Like, no, I'm going to go back. I need the Holy Ghost. This is why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in my time of need. Not because I know the theology. That's a place I go and I obtain it and I receive it. And I need to go there. The Lord told me this once. He said, it's always a good thing to saturate your mind with the Word of God. But sometimes it's absolutely vital to saturate your mind with the Word of God. And you know when that is. it's vital. Well, thank God there's a place. And that's where your Christianity comes to life in a powerful way, and you learn of Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your will, Your design, Your plan is for us to know Your voice. It's an amazing, wonderful, sweet, beautiful voice. It's a voice that's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's full of mercy, full of good fruits. There's no partiality in it. There's no hypocrisy in it. It's just all good. Lord, that's the voice we want. We've been born of that Spirit. We are Your children. I pray for each one here this morning that they would come into that secret place with You. Wherever they're at, knowing that You know them. You know everything about them. Nothing to protect, but just speak from our heart. Whatever it is. No feelings required. Just speaking it out. Declaring our need for You. A very present help in time of trouble. Receiving Your help. Receiving Your strength. Learning of You. Praise You, Father. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I've been born of Your Spirit. I know Your voice. It's pure, peaceable, gentle. Full of mercy and good fruits. No partiality. No hypocrisy. And it's sown in peace. You are gentle. You're lowly in heart. I want to learn to be like that too. To lie down in Your green pastures. And hear what the Spirit says. Help me to know in real life You are a safe place. There is nothing I can't declare. There is nothing I have to keep hidden from You. You know it already. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon Your name. I need this relationship. I need this secret place. I believe by faith You died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will hang out with You in the secret place forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.